The conflict between Fatah and Hamas has kept the people of Gaza indoors for days on end, between repeated and failed ceasefires. Besides the casualties they've inflicted on each other, Palestinian rival groups have inadvertently killed numerous civilians. And while Palestinians are facing growing internal divisions, the pressure is perhaps most keenly felt in Gaza, where residents call themselves imprisoned in a small strip of land, cut off from the rest of the Palestinian territories and ending in the sea. Gisha, the Center for the Legal Protection of Freedom of Movement, has published a report charging that since the 1967 war, the Israeli military has developed an elaborate system of rules and sanctions to check the movement of Gaza's 3.4 million inhabitants. In its January 2007 report, the Israeli Human Rights Group says, despite its withdrawal from the Strip, the Israeli military effectively maintains control of all access into and out of Gaza, including its ports and airspace. The clampdown, Gisha says, has meant limited deliveries of food, medical and other supplies, and mechanical equipment, and even limits to electricity. It also means Gazans cannot easily leave the territory to look for jobs elsewhere to turn around the skyrocketing unemployment. Most families in Gaza cannot survive without aid from international charities. But one Catholic university has been trying to get around the mobility problem, opening a window of hope, bringing its courses to students in Gaza using the latest information technology. Bethlehem University is run by the Christian Brothers. Vice Chancellor Brother Daniel Casey told me more about the program.
We targeted Gaza for occupational therapy. The government of Norway is solidly behind the program, and every graduate through the International Occupational Therapy Association, that in addition to the university degree, they're certified as occupational therapists. So they can go anywhere in the world and be hireable because the degree is certified.
What exactly is an occupational therapist?
Well, it could be, for example, in Gaza, people who are wounded in gunfire and violence and limbs and so on. You know, walking again, using their hands, using their arms, if they've lost a limb.
So in other words, it's a training course to help people who have a physical handicap or disability to learn new occupations, new jobs.
And it could be someone with a stroke, you know, trying to do that. So Gaza has one certified occupational therapist. So we started with a class of 10. And they were not permitted passes to come to Bethlehem University.
Now, who would they have to ask those passes from?
At that time, it was the Israeli government because Gaza was part of Israel. It was controlled. And even when the Prime Minister Sharon withdrew, the permission to travel remained the same. So it was denied. They can't travel. So through the Norwegian government, we brought the faculty to them in concentrated periods of time. They'd get down for 4 or 5 days, both expatriate staff and Palestinian staff.
And so you actually had a little, some sort of a classroom area.
Yeah, we used the British Council facilities in Gaza City. Then the staff couldn't get in at all. That was forbidden. Security, safety. Israel decided that. So that's when we started using the teleconference for a number of classes, and that was successful. The technology worked. They had a good teleconference facility in Gaza City. And then for the practical aspects of occupational therapy, because the students need actually to work with people and get practical skills, which they can't get in a classroom setting, we would go to Cairo twice a year, January and June, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And they'd have intensive classes every single day in what we would call a practicum, in a center where there were handicapped people.
So they found it easier to get out to go to Cairo.
And that was effective. There have been problems. Like They went to Cairo in early January, January 6th. They had the two-week program. And the expatriate teacher, who's the coordinator of the program on our staff, Barbara Lavin, returned. And then she reported to me that the border was closed. So no one from Egypt could enter Gaza. So the 10 students were stranded. She arranged to go back for them to go back to Cairo to the Catholic retreat house they were living in. And they waited a week, and then the border opened, and they're back in Gaza. Mm. So it's practical realities like that. We have a case in the Israeli courts that's being brought forward by an Israeli human rights group called Gisha, G-I-S-H-A. There were two young attorneys, a man and a woman. So they brought the case to the Israeli courts for our Gaza students, because the only purpose of this NGO is freedom of movement. And the case has been in the courts, I'd say, 16 months. The court tends not to rule negatively. They rule favorably, but then they refer it to the Israeli military authorities, and then it sort of dies. There's no response. I doubt very much, despite their best efforts in the legal system, whether the case will be successful.
But even if it were to be successful, how would that change the lives of these kids? They would still have to get permission at the checkpoints.
Well, that's the point, that the 10 of them would move to Bethlehem and live in one of our hostels. And they would have the experience in their fourth year and last year of university studies to be on the campus with other students. Because it has not been a full university experience for them, the isolation. Mm. I don't think that will happen. They'll get the degree, we'll have some type of graduation for them in Gaza, and then they'll be ready for employment.
Again, in Gaza, probably.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Unless the only way they could come to Bethlehem is by some devious route they get out without anyone knowing it, which is highly unusual, but possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now tell me one thing. What other universities, institutions of higher education are available to young people in Gaza? I would imagine there are thousands of young people in Gaza of university age.
Yeah, well, they have two large universities, the Islamic University in Gaza, and I think the other is called the Gaza University. So they're full to overflowing. And out of necessity, they have to limit programs. They don't have occupational therapy. That's why we're offering it.
I see. Because one of my other questions was, of course, why would somebody prefer to go to a Bethlehem University course when they can't even get to your campus?
Yeah. And I think our alumni in Gaza, we used to have about 100 students a year, so 25 or 30 would graduate. And I think they spread the word that Bethlehem University is a good place to go to.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to the parish priest of Gaza, Father Manuel Musalam, who has called Gaza a prison surrounded on all sides, and no one is able to get in or get out. However, we are seeing a similar situation in a way with Bethlehem, although to a much lesser extent. You have the huge wall surrounding Bethlehem. How has that wall affected your faculty and students coming in and out?
Well, you'd have to understand we have two groups. We have about 1,000 students from Jerusalem and 70 or 80 faculty and staff. Their life is normal. Any restrictions they'd experience would be more being in Israel as Arabs than in Bethlehem. I think our Bethlehem students, I sense it mostly among the boys, there's a, I call it low-grade depression. The male finds the enclosure difficult, very difficult.
And how do you see that manifest itself in the young men?
Well, I met with the student leaders on Friday, and to sort of break the ice, get them relaxed, we were talking about this, that, and the other thing. And they were talking, one of the boys was talking about a birthday party for his grandmother in Jerusalem. And then I learned he couldn't get a pass to go. So I just asked the seven of them, I said, who was to Jerusalem the most recent? So the same boy raised his hand, and he said, brother, I was there 4 years ago. And I said to the other six, I said, well, when were you? Oh, it was like 8 years, nine, ten.
And it's only a 10-minute drive.
Yes. So they can't get passes, or they just don't want to be humiliated in the process of asking for the pass. We had a really, I was so annoyed, but I could do nothing about it. We had a Christian leadership workshop retreat program planned for last Easter. It was going to be in the Galilee at the German Pilgrim House, beautiful spot. So we had 60 students indicate that they would be able to go. Then we started the long process of passes, permission, and so on. And the team of faculty were hopeful. Of the 60, 58 were refused. Two were approved for one day. So the whole thing just...
Fell apart.
And that would be typical of movement.
I would imagine that so many of these episodes, also the violence that is going on in Gaza, elsewhere, I would imagine that your students are so angered by what they see and what is happening to their families. As a Christian institution, how do you help your students work through this anger to make something positive out of it instead of something negative?
Well, I think part of it is the educational process, whether it's the formal classrooms, the activities we have. I also think the young women, we have two-thirds young women, one-third young men. And I find that the girls are more, I found this in the United States, so it's not just Palestine. They mature more quickly. They seem more mature than young men. And my experience in the USA and in Palestine is the same. And the campus gives the students the opportunity, which would not be possible outside, for young men and women to mix in the cafeteria, in the gardens, just walking around, both Muslim and Christian. And I believe the girls have an impact on the boys and just having a bit of a more hopeful view, despite the hopelessness sometimes of the situation.
And a very warm thanks there to Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University, Brother Daniel Casey.